I invite you now to stand as you're able for this morning's gospel reading, which comes from the gospel according to Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And let us pray. Oh, Holy God, we thank you for this day that you've called us together to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O God, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, the words of my mouth, would continue to bring glory to your holy name and be acceptable in your sight. In your name, O Lord, you who are our Redeemer and our friend, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. With apologies for those who may have heard this before, as I was preparing to write my sermon for this week, there were all of these dire forecasts of awful weather for Sunday. And so I was trying to decide what to do. And I was reminded of this little story. And you may have heard this before. But in this small town, one snowy February Sunday, only a farmer and the preacher arrived for worship. And the preacher was not really sure what to do. And so he talked to the farmer about this predicament, and the farmer says, "Well, at feeding time, even if only one of my cows show up, I feed it." So the preacher decided to go on with the service, and it went on for an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. And when the preacher got done, he walked down to the farmer and said, "Well, how was that?" And the farmer very quietly said, "Well, oh heck, you know, when it's feeding time and only one cow shows up, I still feed that cow, but I don't feed it the whole load of hay." I'm sorry, but you're getting a sermon this morning because I want you to be well fed. And I also don't want you to start your Lenten journey being undernourished. So we are in the beginning of our Lenten journey. Wednesday evening, we gather together to celebrate Ash Wednesday. And it began with a time of confession and repentance. And it ended with a time of celebrating together Holy Communion. It was a time for us to begin that 40-day journey, that trek that would lead us to Holy Week and Easter together. And we are reminded that this is a journey that is full of all kinds of experiences. It starts with confession. It moves to repentance. It has the promise of new life. And it should end with a renewed sense of commitment, commitment as disciples of Jesus Christ. During our Lenten Sundays, the Old Testament lessons are the covenant promises of God. They are a reminder that God is faithful, that God has always been faithful, and that God has been there from the beginning of time. What Betsy read for us this morning is the first covenant in our book of Genesis. It's the covenant that God made with Noah. And you all know well that story. God was so disgusted with humanity and humanity's inhumanity that God decided to destroy the world and all that God had created. So he chose Noah as a righteous man. He chose Noah and his survivors and his family to take all the animals upon the ark. And for 40 days and for 40 nights it rained, and then the flood waters raged for even longer than that. And what Betsy read this morning is the end of our story, that as Noah and his descendants and all the animals come off the ark on dry ground, God promises not only Noah and his sons and daughters, but God also promises the animals and all of creation that that he will never destroy the earth with water, the waters of a flood again. It's a covenant that's really one-sided. God makes a promise and doesn't expect anything of us, because that's God's nature. God is gracious and God is merciful. Even though God really was disgusted with the way human beings were treating each other and the evil that was abound, he decided just to wipe the slate clean and start over. Noah becomes a new Adam, and the earth is replenished. God says that the sign of this promise, the sign of this covenant agreement, will be the bow in the sky, and we usually think of that as the rainbow. But it's a reminder to God as well. It's a reminder to God that God has promised never to do this again. And it's our assurance that God is faithful and that God keeps his promises. Our Lenten journey is a reminder of God's faithfulness, that even at the worst, God is already there. God is always there. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of the flood, God remembered God's people, and God promised a new start. God did wipe the slate clean, but God started over again with Noah, his children, and the animals. That's the promise throughout our scriptures, and that's always been the promise of God, that God longs for the best for God's children. The covenants that God made throughout the ages end with the covenant that we have in the very gift of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John reminds us that God longs to save God's people. John 3:16 and 17 would say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but would have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." God's nature is to save. God's nature is to create. God's nature is grace and mercy and love. And so we are reminded of that as we travel this Lenten journey. The gospel lesson this morning is the beginning in the Gospel of Mark of Jesus' public ministry. We've heard before about his baptism. But we hear this morning that immediately after he got out of the baptism waters, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. He had hardly had time to dry off from the baptismal waters of the Jordan before he's out in this desert area, this wilderness area. It's a time of quiet discernment. It's 40 days and 40 nights, which is why our Lenten season has that pattern of 40 days. What I like about Mark's gospel is he's a little vague about these 40 days in the wilderness. If you read the same story in Matthew and Luke, you have the actual temptations. You have that Satan asked Jesus to turn stones into bread. You have Satan asking Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple to see if God's angels might protect him. And then you have the Satan, the devil, actually saying to Jesus that if he would just worship Satan, he could have all the power and all the kingdoms of the world. What I like about Mark's gospel, as I said, is that he keeps it vague. Probably none of us have been tempted to turn stones into bread, but haven't we been tempted to have that extra cupcake? None of us probably would climb to the pinnacle of a high point and test God to see if God would catch us as we throw ourselves off. But haven't we at times tested God when we say things such as, "God, if you just get me through this, I'll do thus and so"? And haven't we at times been tempted to have the power of the world rather than the Spirit of Christ? I like that Mark keeps it vague, as I said, so that we can see that perhaps we too, just as Christ was tempted, that we've been tempted too. Tempted to share that little white lie. Tempted to cheat on our income taxes, tempted not to give back the wrong change that we've been given. And we've been tempted too by bigger things throughout our lives. It's reassuring that Jesus was tempted and that Jesus came out on the other side stronger, not weaker. Mark tells us that these 40 days and 40 nights were no picnic for Jesus. He was with the wild animals. It was a time of danger. It was not just a time of solitude. But the promise, as well as the danger, is that Jesus was ministered to by angels. God did protect him. God did strengthen him, even in the midst of that temptation wilderness. Our Lenten study this year is Adam Hamilton's book, The Way, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. And Hamilton says this about this wilderness journey. When you think of Jesus' temptations, how do you imagine them? The Gospels describe a conversation between Jesus and the devil. We might take this literally and at face value, but it seems more likely that Jesus had a conversation with the devil in the same way that we have conversations with the devil. I don't see a man in red tights carrying a pitchfork. I hear a whisper to do something I have no business doing, or urging me to refrain from doing what I should do. He personifies the inner spiritual struggles that all of us face. We've all wrestled with the devil. We don't know all the temptations the devil threw at Jesus over these 40 days, but Matthew and Luke tell us of three specific temptations. Unless they were simply making it up, the only way they could have known this information was for Jesus to have described his wrestling match with the devil to his disciples. I think this is likely. And if he did so, he was trying to teach them something about temptation, and he was also revealing something about his own temptations, which can be seen as the universal struggles we wrestle with as human beings. For we all do wrestle. We all do wrestle with temptations. We all do wrestle with spirits. We all do find ourselves deciding and making choices between right and wrong. We all do have to listen carefully to know which voices we are listening to. The wilderness time for Jesus, that wilderness time of temptation, strengthened him. He didn't come out of the wilderness weaker. He came out stronger. He came with a renewed commitment, a commitment to share the good news, which is that the kingdom of God was at hand. He had these 40 days and 40 nights to have a time of discernment, to wonder and talk to God, and yes, even be tempted by Satan to be other than what God wanted. And that's what temptation is for us as well, to be tempted to be other than what God would want for us. To be tempted literally means to be enticed to veer away from the path of what we know to be good and right, what we know to be pure and true. And don't we often in our discipleship and in our Christian journey sometimes take a little side trip off of the way because we're tempted to see what is somewhere else. We're tempted to go a different direction to see if the grass truly is greener on the other side. The temptation, wanderings, and wilderness of Jesus was a time of discernment, a time for him to know what it was that God was asking of him, to discern what it really meant to be the Son of God. Barbara Brown Taylor, in an article about the temptation of Jesus, compares it to a solo camping trip. And she says this: there is, first of all, the decision of what to take and what to leave, what is essential to life and what is not. When you have to carry them on your back, so-called necessities can become discarded baggage. There is also the matter of having quite a lot of time to think. Can you handle the silence in which thoughts and feelings you have outrun will have time to catch up with you? Should you encounter some wild animals of your own, will you stay or will you pack up? How will you tell the difference between Satan's voice and those of the angels? Do you trust that everything comes from God? Do you trust that everything comes from God? In our wilderness of temptations, do we hear the voice of God? Do we minister to animals? Are we ministered by angels, or do we just wrestle with the wild animals? Temptation can be a time of great discernment for us. It can be a time for us to discern what is right and what is wrong. Wendy Wright, in her book, The Rising, Living the Mysteries of Lent, Easter, and Pentecost, says this: This wilderness drama has been speaking creatively to Christians for most of our history. I see in it a tale of discernment, of wrestling with different spirits or voices heard in the self, the process of which can help us to sift through the variety of motives, impulses, and values that guide our choices. But discernment is not simply about making choices right from wrong, better for worse. It is also about self-knowledge, coming to know the constellation of one's own particular gifts and limitations. Discernment is about coming to some clarity about what moves us. It involves attending to the results of the actions occasioned by our motivations. Our wilderness times can be times of great discernment when we figure out what it is that God wants of us and what God has created us to be. I think Jesus' wilderness temptations were about that discernment. Jesus coming to terms with what he would be as he moved to Calvary and as he moved to the cross. Wendy Wright goes on to say, "We are constantly confronted with choices that involve our discernment. Often the shadowy lure of evil is obvious in the choice, sometimes it's not. Often our complicity in evil has more to do with our passiveness to the cultural evil that surrounds us, the evils of racism, sexism, hunger, poverty, violence, and such. Lent is a time to reflect on the temptation we all face to simply accept the status quo, to ignore the hard questions facing us. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to enter into the wilderness and choose to know ourselves and each other as beloved daughters and sons of God?" Jesus is Lenten, our Lenten journey that we kind of pattern after Jesus' life starts with this wilderness time. It starts with an understanding that he, even though he was sinful, was tempted and tested by Satan. We too can see our place in that story, for we too have been tempted. Ash Wednesday reminds us of our humanity. From dust we came, and to dust we would return. So we begin trying to understand who we are as children of God. And our journey moves from there to a greater sense of who we are as beloved children of God. And hopefully, as we travel through this Lenten journey together, we come to a greater commitment of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Frederick Buechner, who's one of my favorite theologians, when he talks about Lent, talks about the questions that we all must answer as we go through this wilderness time. And he says this: "To hear yourself try to answer questions like these is to begin to hear something not only of who you are, but of both what you are becoming and what you are failing to become. It can be pretty depressing business all in all. But if sackcloth and ashes are at the start of it, something like Easter might be at the end. If sackcloth and ashes are at the start of it, something like Easter may be at the end." When we too walk through that wilderness of temptation, may we know that God is faithful and that God is there with us. And as we discern who we are as beloved children of God, may we know that God sends people in our lives to help us wrestle with that. And may we also be assured that as we find our place as disciples of Jesus, that the joy of Easter will have greater meaning for each and every one of us. May it be so. Amen.